Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic every week, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology, ideas, discoveries, concepts that affect your life and the way you view the world around you. And with us today, we're very glad to have once again Professor Paul Davies. He's the Regent Professor of Physics at Arizona State University, and we were privileged to nail him down while he's visiting London. He's the winner of the Templeton Prize, and author of many great books, including The Demon in the Machine, How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And his latest book is what we're going to talk about today, and that is What's Eating the Universe and Other Cosmic Questions. And if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. You can also follow me on Facebook. We have 5 million fans on Facebook. And my latest book hit the New York Times bestseller list. It is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. The theory is controversial. In fact, Nobel Prize winners are split on the question of string theory. Is that the fabled theory that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life? What's all the excitement about? What is the controversy all about? Find out by getting a copy of my latest book called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. But once again, with us today is Professor Paul Davies, author of many great books, and we're going to be talking about his latest book, What's Eating the Universe and Other Cosmic Questions. And again, he's a Regent Professor of Physics at Arizona State University. So, Paul, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Michio.
Okay, Paul, once again, tell us about when you were a youth. When you were a young kid, what inspired you to go in the direction of science, and in particular, physics and gravity and cosmology?
I often say that I was born a physicist because from the earliest time I can remember, I was really fascinated with how the world is put together, the idea that there could be atoms, which you can't see and yet explain so much. And when I looked up at the sky, I grew up in London, and in those days you could actually see the sky, and I used to look up and think, well, you know, what are these stars, the planets, the shooting stars? Look so intriguing. So from the earliest age I can remember, I was really just fascinated with the wonderland above my head and that imaginary wonderland down in the microcosm. And right from the start, I was gripped. And I've been fortunate, as have you, to be able to make a career in the thing that we love most.
Okay, and once again, the book is called What's Eating the Universe, which covers a number of great topics, including the Big Bang, the creation of the universe, time travel, black holes, the multiverse, parallel universes, you name it, it's included in that book. So let's start at the beginning of the universe. I remember when I was a kid, there was a raging debate among cosmologists between what is called the steady-state theory and the Big Bang theory of how the universe was created. Now, that controversy was in part led by an astronomer and cosmologist, Fred Hoyle. And I understand that you actually had an acquaintance with Fred Hoyle. What was he like, given the fact that he was up against the Big Bang theory?
You say an acquaintance. I actually knew him very well. He was the external examiner of my PhD thesis, so that's when I first got to know him. And it was a rather shrewd move because I subsequently applied for a job at his institute in Cambridge. It was then the Institute of Theoretical Astronomy, and he was the director of it. And because he knew me as being the external examiner, he gave me a job. So I always think I should pay lip service to Fred, because that was the first step on my career in professional science. And I went to Cambridge in, wait for it, 1970. That shows my age. And in those days, Fred was running this place, and there were some people down the corridor who at that time were not known to the public, but if I mention Stephen Hawking and Martin Rees, they were just other postdocs there. These people have, of course, gone on to become world famous. But at that time, Fred was still clinging to the idea of the steady-state theory, and I should just explain that the steady-state theory says that the universe is expanding, that was accepted, but that as it gets bigger and the gaps open up between the galaxies, then new matter sort of trickles in to the universe and forms new galaxies to fill up the gaps. So that this is a universe that has no beginning and no end, with continuous creation of matter. And for a while, it was a very popular theory. But in 1964, when the two radio engineers at Bell Labs, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, accidentally discovered an annoying hiss in their equipment that turned out to be the fading afterglow of the Big Bang, that was the Big Bang smoking gun. It was very clear that this radiation that fills all of space, and we call it now the cosmic microwave background, was really the evidence everyone had been seeking, that there really was a Big Bang. So Fred was retreating, but he hadn't, when I went there in 1970, hadn't yet totally given up on some sort of variation of the steady-state theory. So I had a front-row seat of this controversy between, you know, the young upstarts like Stephen Hawking pushing the Big Bang theory, and then this sort of aging giant of cosmology, Fred Hoyle, retreating in the face of the evidence. So it was really pretty fascinating to see how the science worked out in practice.
Now, let me ask you a question about a rumor that I heard. Fred Hoyle was, of course, very opinionated about his ideas. Many people thought that he should have won the Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize about how elements are created in the heart of stars. But some people say that the Nobel Prize committee was irritated at Fred Hoyle because he insisted that Jocelyn Bell, a woman astronomer who discovered the pulsar, should have gotten the Nobel Prize but was passed over because she was a woman. And so some people think the Nobel Prize committee was irritated about that, and to snub him, they decided not to give Fred Hoyle the Nobel Prize. What do you think? Is that just a rumor, or do you think there's some truth to that?
Well, of course, I've heard these same rumors. I don't know the backstory. I think it's wrong that Fred didn't share the Nobel Prize for the work that he did on the origin of the elements. I have to say he was an outspoken person. In private, if you got to know him just at a personal level, he was very charming and big-hearted, but he was given to making rather dramatic statements, and because he had such a big media coverage, anything he said, of course, got a lot of attention. And I think probably what was the main problem at the time that the Nobel Prize was being considered was the fact that he was espousing an idea which, with the test of time, maybe isn't so crazy. He thought that comets...
Okay, Paul, we're going to have to take a short detour. We'll talk about Fred Hoyle after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. give us a call, and perhaps you can get on 100 radio stations that carry science. Fantastic. So once again, our special guest today is Paul Davies. The book is called What's Eating the Universe? Stay tuned.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to get on national radio and give us a call, the hotline number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations and the internet that carry Science Fantastic. Well, once again, we're talking about the universe. We're talking about the possibility of black holes, parallel universes, the multiverse, time travel, you name it. It's all talked about in the book, What's Eating the Universe? And Other Cosmic Questions by Professor Paul Davies, winner of the Templeton Prize and Regent Professor at Arizona State University. Well, we were talking about the Big Bang Theory, a theory that almost all cosmologists adhere to, the idea that there was an explosion that took place that set the universe into motion. But now there's a new theory which seems to improve upon the early Big Bang Theory called the inflation theory, that perhaps the original bang was even greater and more ferocious than we previously thought. And these bangs can happen again and again and again because these are quantum events. The man pushing that idea is Alan Guth, professor at MIT. We had him on Science Fantastic a few years ago talking about the inflation theory. So, Paul, has the inflation theory held up? The idea that you can have multiple Big Bangs, the fact that if the Big Bang happened once, it can happen again and again, giving us, well, parallel universes. What are your thoughts?
The origin of the universe in a Big Bang was a natural event rather than a supernatural event, then any natural event can surely happen more than once. It would be a very strange law of physics that said, well, this can happen, but only once. And so I think it's inevitable that if we accept this origin of the universe, that there will be an unlimited number of bangs scattered throughout space and time. And each one would give rise to a universe, sometimes called a bubble or a bubble universe, a big bubble of space, and our universe would be just one bubble among many. So if you took a sort of God's eye view, you would see that our universe, vast though it may be, is just a microcosm in this enormous, indeed infinite, system of bubbles, which usually goes by the name of the multiverse. The multiverse of many bubbles or many universes. And that idea has become fashionable. When I was a student, everybody thought, well, there was just one universe and you couldn't say anything about what happened before it or what caused it. But now the fashion is to say that the entire assemblage is eternal, has no beginning or end, but any given bubble will have a beginning and a period of evolution and maybe an ending. But the entire system is eternal. So it's a bit like the old steady-state theory, I have to say, but instead of particles of matter being continually created, we now have a view where bubble universes are continually created. But it's the same basic concept.
Now, this is a mind-bending concept, the idea of a multiverse, that bubble universes could be popping into existence even as we speak. But, of course, people want experimental evidence for this. All outrageous theories have to eventually be proven using experiment. And some people think that the cosmic microwave background radiation that you talked about, the afterglow of the Big Bang, has within it remnants. Remnants of the fact that we may have collided with another universe or perhaps given birth to a universe. What is the status of the latest ideas concerning whether or not within the cosmic background radiation, this afterglow of the Big Bang, there is encoded within it a remnant of an interaction with a parallel universe?
The first thing to point out is that the record of the Big Bang contained in this background radiation shows that the universe was born in a condition of almost perfection. It looks very smooth across the sky, only very small fluctuations. It looks like if you were going to make a universe, this is very close to the ideal universe, but it's not perfect. So when you look at the details of this background radiation, there are some anomalies in it, which some people dismiss as just being statistical fluctuations of no real significance, but many cosmologists think that we haven't got the complete story because of these imperfections. And one of these imperfections is a funny cold patch in the southern hemisphere in the constellation of Eridanus, and it's colder than it should be compared to the surrounding radiation. It's a very big patch, and Laura Mazzini-Houghton, who's a cosmologist, has proposed that maybe this is one of these other bubble universes that has crashed into ours and has sort of bitten a big chunk out of it, as if this other universe is eating ours. There are many different scenarios. One is that an entire universe could swallow our universe, or vice versa, and there are many other ways that the familiar space-time that we're living in might be eaten. It can be eaten from the inside out, and from the outside in. And all of these theoretical possibilities are out there, but they're all, of course, very speculative.
Now, sometimes it's said that if you want to see a physicist blush, ask them what happened before the Big Bang. Well, if this idea is correct, then perhaps these bubbles collide, or perhaps they peel off a baby bubble, and that's the Big Bang. The Big Bang is basically the collision of bubbles, or perhaps the splitting of bubbles into baby bubbles. So how has that idea held up? The fact that perhaps it's possible to talk about a universe before the beginning of time.
I think that this has replaced the notion of when I was a student, that there's this one universe and it began a finite time ago and there was nothing before it. As Stephen Hawking once remarked, it's like asking what lies north of the North Pole, that there is no such place, and in the same way there's no such time as before the Big Bang. It was the origin of time itself. And that idea has really been replaced by the notion that the Big Bang that gave rise to our universe was not the ultimate origin of all physical things, but just the origin of our particular cosmic region.
Now, we had Alan Guth on the air. He's one of the founders of this inflationary idea. And he also proposed the idea that if you can somehow create the conditions for a Big Bang in a laboratory, you can actually create a baby universe in the laboratory. And I asked him, isn't that rather dangerous, creating a baby universe in your basement laboratory? And he said, well, yeah, it'd be equivalent to a small tactical nuclear weapon going off. But what are your thoughts? Is it possible, or is it even conceivable, that one day we might play God and create an oven hot enough to create a baby universe in the laboratory? Or is it all nonsense?
Well, I don't think it's nonsense, because I come back to the fact that if the origin of the universe in the Big Bang was a natural event, then in principle we could recreate the conditions necessary to produce, as it were, our own Big Bang. And because of the weirdness of space-time and Einstein's theory of gravitation, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a universe blowing up in your face. What you might get is something that, like, is a tiny black hole. But if you could fall through the black hole, you'd come out in this other universe, this other bubble. So this offers the ultimate in emigration. If you're bored with this universe, you create your own baby one and decamp into it, and then you're getting out for good.
Well, of course, the mind goes crazy thinking about these possibilities, but there are physicists who publish papers on these bizarre ideas. One idea is that, well, black holes are gigantic objects that suck in everything that comes in its vicinity, but where does that matter go? Some people have proposed the idea that when matter flows into a black hole, is blown out the other end as a white hole, and perhaps the white hole is the counterpart of the black hole. And some people take that one step farther and say maybe the Big Bang is a white hole. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll talk about some of these far-fetched ideas and whether or not any of them can be proven. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, and perhaps you can get on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Consumer sentiment is improving slightly. The University of Michigan's early reading for September edged up another point after hitting its all-time low in June. The one-year economic outlook continued its rise from extremely low readings earlier in the summer, but the gains were offset by modest declines in the long-term outlook. The survey noted a high level of consumer uncertainty over inflation, despite the recent drop in energy prices. Elon Musk is accusing Twitter of fraud after he alleges it concealed serious flaws in the social media company's data security. Musk saying this should allow him to end his $44 billion deal to purchase a social media company. One of the most iconic landmarks in California is getting an upgrade. Starting Monday, crews will be painting the Hollywood sign in Los Angeles. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Fantastic. Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to blow your mind away because of the fact that physicists are now contemplating things that were once considered to be outrageous, preposterous, science fiction. But here we are, distinguished physicists, including Nobel Prize winners, seriously taking into account some of the bizarre ideas being talked about in the halls of cosmologists. Perhaps one of the craziest ideas is time travel. And yes, that is covered in the book, What's Eating the Universe?, by Professor Paul Davies, winner of the Templeton Prize, Regent Professor of Physics at Arizona State University. And again, the book is called What's Eating the Universe? Now, Paul, Stephen Hawking looked at the question of time travel, and he thought there must be a principle that shows that time travel is impossible. He called it the chronology protection hypothesis, the fact that there must be somewhere a principle that says, aha, time travel is impossible because it violates ABC. Well, was he successful? I understand that he gave up, that perhaps time travel is possible, because no matter how hard he tried to disprove it, he couldn't. What are your thoughts?
You're absolutely correct. Nobody has proved the chronology protection hypothesis. Stephen quipped it would be making the universe safe for historians. And now it's important to point out that time travel, it can be done in two ways. You can travel into the future and travel into the past. And we know travel into the future is possible because we've done it. It's been known for over 100 years since Einstein pointed out that you can get to the future quicker by moving close to the speed of light or by going to near the surface of a black hole, something like that. And this is a principle that is easy to test in the lab, and nobody doubts that it is the case. You can go forward in time, but going backward in time, of course, opens up all those wonderful paradoxes that devotees of science fiction love to think about. And so if you think of a movie like Back to the Future, can you go back in time and sort of change something, and then what happens to the epoch that you came from if you've been meddling with the past? And that seems paradoxical. But the best understanding we have of the nature of space and time comes from Einstein's general theory of relativity. Now, that was published in 1915. And at the time, Einstein, he didn't know whether backwards in time travel is forbidden. He hoped it would be, but he couldn't prove it. And many years later, the Austrian mathematician and logician Kurt Gödel, who was at that time at Princeton Institute for Advanced Study, where Einstein was, they used to walk home together and no doubt had conversations of this sort. Well, Gödel sat down and solved Einstein's gravitational field equations to demonstrate explicitly that they would permit travel into the past. Now, the model he was looking at was a bit unrealistic. It was a universe that's rotating, and we don't think the universe is rotating, but nevertheless it showed that within the scope of Einstein's general theory of relativity, there's nothing to forbid travel into the past. So that theory on its own won't protect chronology as the way Stephen Hawking wanted it. So perhaps some other branch of physics would intervene to prevent you going back in time and killing your grandfather or something of that sort. Maybe quantum physics prevents
that. Okay, Paul, we have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, What's Eating the Universe? And once again, our special guest today is Professor Paul Davies, Regents Professor at Arizona State University and author of this book, What's Eating the Universe? So stay tuned as we continue a discussion of the universe. Is there meaning in the universe? What's it all about? Where did it come from? That's what we're talking about today on Science Fantastic.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us on the line once again, we have Professor Paul Davies, author of a new exciting book that I highly recommend you get a copy of, What's Eating the Universe and Other Cosmic Questions. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about the fact that Stephen Hawking tried very hard to disprove time travel, and he couldn't. Einstein's equations do allow for time travel. In fact, if you have black holes, negative matter, exotic matter, there are many scenarios where time can be bent into a pretzel using Einstein's theory. But what about the paradoxes? Paul was mentioning the grandfather paradox. What happens if you go backwards in time and meet yourself as a child and then commit suicide? If you commit suicide in the past, how could you be alive as an adult to go backwards in time to kill yourself as a child? So the mind goes crazy thinking about these things. But Paul, isn't it possible that the river of time can fork into two rivers, and basically when you go backwards in time, you've altered somebody else's universe, but your universe is the same. Your universe, the timeline, has not changed at all. Wouldn't that resolve all time travel paradoxes?
It's true, but if you have parallel realities, you can imagine going back in time and changing something that looks very familiar, but it's actually a parallel track, and then that would diverge from the track you came from. And so that way you have the possibility of not only traveling into the past, but the free will, the freedom to actually do as you please. And although this idea of parallel realities might seem crazy, as a matter of fact, it's a very respectable part of physics these days, because quantum mechanics gives you this conundrum that it's intrinsically uncertain, it's indeterministic. If I fire an electron at an atom, then it may bounce to the left or may bounce to the right. Well, supposing it bounces to the left and then I do the experiment again under identical circumstances, next time it may bounce to the right. You just don't know. And one way of interpreting this is that there are really two possible worlds, one with a left-moving electron, one with a right-moving electron, and they start out identical, but then they split after the electron hits the atom. And then if you imagine that being scaled up, so every time an event occurs down at the microscopic level, you get more and more of these parallel realities. And the truth of the matter is that many of my distinguished colleagues believe that that is the nature of reality, that there are an infinite number of parallel worlds. And so, of course, if you go back in time, you've got plenty of other worlds to choose from that you could alter by intervening. And then that really is an escape from the paradox. It's not the only escape, I should say, but it's the one that is favored by people who like to think about these things.
And I should also mention that the idea of a multiverse is actually pervading into the movies. If you're a fan of Marvel Comics and the Avengers series, you realize that some of the biggest blockbusters of the past year have explicitly talked about the multiverse. In fact, there's even one scene where they draw the timeline, and the timeline forks into two rivers, so the river of time can have whirlpools. Whirlpools in the river of time. And that is the basis for the latest Avenger movie. So, Paul, let me ask you yet another crazy question. And that is, you also talk about the end of the universe, how the universe may die one day, billions, trillions of years from now, in a big freeze or a big crunch of some sort, either in fire or ice. And you mentioned the possibility is that there are other worlds, other gateways, other inflationary scenarios. Then perhaps one day, when our universe dies, maybe we can escape the ultimate death of our own universe. What are your thoughts about that idea? Is that so far-fetched, or is that consistent with the laws of physics?
Well, everything you've been talking about is consistent with our best understanding of the laws of physics. Now, of course, if there are young people listening to us now, I hope there are, they may be fired up and thinking that they'd love to make a career in theoretical physics. And my message is, we need you. Come in and test some of these ideas.
Okay, Paul, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Paul Davies, winner of the Templeton Prize, author of a new book, What's Eating the Universe? And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, and perhaps you can get on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we're talking about the universe with Professor Paul Davies. We're going to ask him a question. Meaning. Is there meaning to the universe? Is there a destiny? Or is it all pointless? Is it all nothing but a bunch of random particles bumping into each other without any meaning whatsoever? And if you want to know my take on this, get a copy of my latest book. It's called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. It's about what I do for a living. I'm one of the founders of something called string field theory, and it has the hope that one day it'll be able to summarize the quantum theory and all of particle physics in an equation 1 inch long. My equation is, in fact, about 1.5 inches long. Now we also have membranes that coexist with strings. So far, we have not yet found the field theory of membranes and strings. But at least the field theory of strings has been written down by myself and my colleagues. Anyway, with us today is Professor Paul Davies, author of the book, What's Eating the Universe? Now, Paul, we also had Professor Steve Weinberg, the late Steve Weinberg, Nobel laureate, on our airwaves. And he's famous for saying that the more we know about the universe, the more we realize that it's pointless. The universe has no meaning. The universe is pointless. No direction. It's just a random jumble of subatomic particles. Well, what are your thoughts? Because that was a very controversial statement. In fact, there are books written trying to refute or elaborate on the idea of a pointless universe. But what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that when we use terms like meaning or purpose, we are, of course, drawing upon human experience, because meaning is a concept which human beings have, and it comes from human discourse, so we want to project it onto nature. And so some people feel, well, you can't do that. Can't talk about the meaning of the universe. You can only talk about the meaning of human life. But my counter is that we apply many metaphors that are drawn from human activity. If you say, as Newton did, that the universe is a gigantic clockwork, a gigantic machine, well, most scientists are happy with that. They think, oh, it's just a mechanism. Indeed, we talk about quantum mechanics, for example, describing the universe. But machines are human categories as well. And so when we use terms like meaning or purpose, we're really drawing on the biological analogy. Biological organisms, not just humans, seem to have goals or purposes, and we're projecting that onto the universe as a whole. So what I usually say is that the universe is not a machine, and it's not an organism, but it has some aspects of mechanism and some aspects of purpose, and that these are legitimate ways of capturing part of what the universe is about. But the key point there is about. I think the universe is about something, There's a scheme of things which we can come to understand using physics and mathematics, and the very fact that human beings themselves can grasp what is going on, the fact we can do science and make discoveries, find out things about how the universe is put together, to me suggests some profound connection between the human intellect and the great cosmic scheme. I think there is something there. I don't think there's anything like the traditional God, but I don't shrug aside this idea that there is something like meaning or purpose in the universe. So I take a middle position.
Now, the physicist Freeman Dyson, who we also interviewed, said that the universe seemed to know we were coming. The universe seemed to anticipate us because the universe makes life possible, and life is extremely difficult to get off the ground. You have to have stars that are stable for billions of years, chemical reactions that can exist for millions and millions of years, a tremendous series of accidents, the nuclear force, the electromagnetic force, all of them have to be fine-tuned exactly to make life possible. Now, this is, some people call it the cosmic jackpot. I think he wrote a book about this. What are your thoughts about the idea that maybe the universe was tuned precisely to allow for DNA and life to get off the ground, or maybe it was all a crapshoot? What are your thoughts?
First of all, there is no doubt that the universe does seem to be rigged in favor of life, that there are a number of features in the laws of physics and the way the Big Bang went bang, that if they were even slightly different, would wreck the chances of life appearing. And there's general agreement on that. There's no agreement on what we conclude from it. Some people think, well, you know, it's just the way things are. Other people think it was somehow designed that way. Or there's an alternative, which is if there are many, many universes, as we discussed, the multiverse, maybe these different universes come with different laws, and only in a tiny, tiny subset, just by chance, are those laws coming out in favor of life. And I consider all of these positions to be interesting. I myself am sitting on the fence somewhat. I think we don't fully understand the link between the emergence of life and the underlying laws of nature. I think there is a link. I don't think that it's just a lucky accident, but I'm not sure that link is best explained by invoking an infinite number of other universes.
Now, in your book, you've actually discussed the question of an infinite number of universes. If there are such, it means that this conversation that we're having right now, this conversation is being duplicated by other universes someplace. Billions and billions of other universes being replaying this very same conversation, perhaps with a twist of some sort. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Once again, our special guest today has been Professor Paul Davies, Region Professor at Arizona State University and author of a new book that I highly recommend, What's Eating the Universe? And Other Cosmic Questions. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website to find out what I'm up to, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to Facebook. We have 5 million fans on Facebook. Find out what all the excitement is about. Good day.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time.
That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.